Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 435, stanzas 1, 6, and 9. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty at Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. 435, stanzas 1, 6, and 9. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 through 9. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 1. But first, we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is a respect of persons with him. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and for his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, may it not be evil in thy sight, as we open our sinful lips unto thee, that almighty, infinite, holy being in heaven. And Lord, we beg thee that thou would give us a true sense of who we are as we come before thee in prayer. Give that true humility. Give a little understanding of how guilty we are and of how holy and pure thou art. But also wilt thou give that we may come unto thee, looking unto thee, expecting all things of thee, that we may believe that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Lord, thou hast made us in thy image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Thou hast created us. Thou could look upon us in paradise and say, behold, it is very good. There is no sin. Our covenant head, Adam, and us in him, we obeyed thee perfectly. And it was our joy. It was our delight in paradise. But Lord, we have become disobedient. We have rebelled against thee. And we have left thee never to return. And now we are born rebellious, wicked, enemies, sinful, disobedient, and thou yet hast the right to demand perfect obedience. Thou hast the right to demand thy image, that we would be in knowledge, righteousness, and in holiness. And Lord, we beg and pray thee that the preaching of thy law may be richly blessed, that sinners who are guilty, who are rebellious, who are wicked, who are completely disobedient unto thee, prone to hate God and our neighbor, instead of loving thee with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would have mercy upon us and renew us. Lord, that the preaching of thy law may bring us before thee guilty, lost, bowing, confessing, that we may be those true repentant sinners by thy grace, that we have that godly sorrow, that the Lord has made me so good and I am so wicked, so prone to all sin and evil, also to disobedience of authority, of parents. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would renew hearts, that there may be that true beginning of obedience unto thee, and also of children obeying their parents as unto the Lord, and that sinners would begin to obey authority as unto thee. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would renew hearts, translate from the kingdom of darkness, of that kingdom of only disobedience and rebellion, into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Lord, thou hast said that thou would renew sinners, put thy spirit in them, write thy law in their hearts, and cause them to walk in thy ways. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou wilt do that also in thy free and sovereign grace here in the hearts of boys, of girls, teenagers, adults, older ones, seniors. Lord, we all need it. We're all born depraved, corrupt, wicked enemies, and we need thy grace. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would look upon us in mercy, whether we living as a self-righteous Pharisee, and we need to be convicted to show us that it's all filthy, all insufficient, all polluted, or whether we are living also as prodigals, worldly. Lord, we beg thee, do not pass us by, but look upon us in mercy. Oh, we beg thee that thou would pour out that water upon the dry ground. May there be floods, that there may be life, true life, in the hearts of sinners. And that thy law may be a schoolmaster to bring unto that only Savior. That poor and guilty sinners may become guilty, but also brought unto him, he who kept thy law, who obeyed all the commandments with his whole heart, with his whole being. Never one sinful thought, never one rebellious deed. It was all pure, and thou could look upon him and say, behold, I am well pleased. Oh, may sinners who know that thou art not well pleased with them because of who they are, who they have made themselves, and who they remain to be with that wretched sinfulness that clings to them. Oh, may they hear it, that there is one that they need, one that can cover them, one that can cleanse them of all their sins, also the sin against the fifth commandment. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, tonight, then that thou would richly bless thy word to the conversion of sinners, but also to the edification of thy dear people. Oh, thou knowest also those burdened sinners, how they long to obey thy law, and how they long also to be obedient, and yet that sin clings unto them, how that rebellion yet comes up so often, so disobedient. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would sanctify them, give more holiness, more hatred for sin, but also cause them to walk faithfully day by day according to thy law. Conform them more and more to the image of thy dear Son, and that they may be a light upon this earth for thy honor, for thy glory. Oh, that thy people may bring forth more fruits. Lord, do it for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for their comfort, and may it be also to others. Lord, we beg and pray thee, look upon us then in mercy, as thou hast given on thy day, that for the second time we may enter into thy house. Lord, thou hast given in this morning that we have heard the command to fathers, and now tonight we will hear the command to children. Lord, bless it, that we may be brought together as fathers, mothers, children, as families, bowing before thee, confessing our sin, seeking thee for grace, seeking thee forgiveness, seeking thee for hearts that would be cleansed to live unto thee. Lord, look upon us in mercy then. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember also in this nation, as Satan has a desire to destroy what thou hast given, to destroy families, to tear apart homes. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou knowest all the confusion also in the government, in the schools, and in this nation that we live in. Oh, may thy word yet be proclaimed, and that they may hear that thou hast created us male and female, that a marriage is between one man and one woman, and that thou art the one who gives children, children that are born as a boy and as a girl. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy upon us. Oh, our sins rise up against thee, and we are only worthy of thy judgments. We beg and pray thee that thou would remember the whole congregation, all the cares and the needs, all the crosses known unto us, and all the unknown crosses yet known unto thee. Oh, give grace to submit. Oh, give grace to take up the cross and to deny self and to follow thee, and to give grace to carry the cross that thou wilt lay upon them. And oh, may we be led to that one who did carry that cross, and yet who was hung, who was crucified on the cross. Oh, we beg and pray thee, teach, and by thy Holy Spirit, that sinners become guilty sinners and are led unto him, unto thy dear Son, and him crucified, that they may find comfort, consolation for their souls in his wounds. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember all the mourning ones, all the sick and afflicted, care for them in the congregation, but also relatives, many outside of this congregation. We beg and pray thee, Lord, thou who art the King of the church, look upon us in mercy, guide us and keep us to the truths of thy precious word. Lord, remember all thy servants, and may we ask thee and beg thee that their number may increase. Oh, wilt thou then call and send out, and that there may be many throughout the world called by thee, sent by thee to be ambassadors, to proclaim death in Adam and life in Christ on the mission field, in the established congregations. And may we also beg it, Lord, in our beloved denomination. Thou knowest the great need. Oh, we beg and pray thee, remember each one of thy servants, and may we ask that their number may be increased. Oh, wilt thou call powerfully, irresistibly, men taught by thee who have thy grace to this office, and that they must surrender and follow thee. Lord, we unworthy, thou could righteously leave us, thou could pass us by, but oh, we beg thee, Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy. We beg and pray thee to remember all those whom thou hast placed in authority of us. Oh, may we truly pray for them. May we pray for the Prime Minister, all the members in Parliament. Oh, we beg thee, give them a new heart. Give them the tender fear of the Lord, that they may rule this nation according to the truths of thy word. Lord, we pray, remember then also those great sins of a nation, of all that blood that is shed by abortion and euthanasia. Have mercy, Lord, and give, that there may be laws made to protect life from the moment of conception until the time that thou wilt take life. Lord, we pray, remember the persecuted church. Uphold them, care for them. May we see the great privilege and the freedom that we may have to freely come into thy house on thy day to worship thee. May it not testify against us. Lord, we ask and beg and pray thee that thou would remember us then together tonight as we are gathered in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Lord, open thy word. Bless it with the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit into hearts of sinners, that sinners become guilty sinners, and that guilty sinners may be also led unto him, that only one who can wash and cleanse them, who can forgive them. Lord, thou hast said in thy word that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, richly bless thy word then, and may we acknowledge thee, Lord. We have asked thee that thou would incline the hearts of the MTO to also open the way, to also the Lord willing to also, if it is in thy will, to also give a place that we may worship as a whole congregation. Thou knowest the needs, Lord, and we have begged thee, and we may thank thee that thou hast inclined their hearts to also open the way, and yet thou knowest all that is needed. Oh, wilt thou then also further open the way, and if it is in thy will in the future, that we may receive all the necessary permits to be able to build a place of worship where we may meet together with all the congregation, with all our children. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give broken hearts for thy goodness. Thou can turn the hearts of kings like rivers of water, and may it be to thy honor, to thy glory, and in thy favor. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy word. Lord, who is sufficient? Thou hast not called angels. Thou hast called sinful men. What a wonder that thou would be willing to use sinful instruments in thy hand. Oh, wilt thou give much prayer and give a blessing on the preaching? Give a voice to cry in the wilderness, thus saith the Lord, and give ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive. Lord, give us a good hour in thy house with thy favor and in thy blessing, and that we may go home and say it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Pass us not by, oh, we beg thee, in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 322, all four stanzas. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead if in its wisdom they confide. Psalter 322, all stanzas, and the collections for this evening is for the church and for the Rehoboth Christian School Target Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation and children, this morning we heard the command to fathers. Now tonight we will hear a command to children. So children, listen. We read in Ephesians 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And this is the fifth commandment, an echo of the fifth commandment, which we read in Exodus 20. The fifth commandment. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So what the Lord has taught in the fifth commandment, the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism have given a summary in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39, question and answer 104. So let's read together now, Lord's Day 39 from the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 104, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 75. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. So the theme for this evening with the Lord's help is the fifth commandment, God's commandment to children. The fifth commandment, God's commandment to children. Three thoughts. Children, who must you obey? So that's the first thought. Who must you obey? Only your parents, your teachers, government? Who must you obey? Who must we obey? Second, children, how must you obey? How? The Lord gives instruction how we are to obey. And last, children, why must you obey? Why? What's the purpose? So the fifth commandment, God's commandment to children. Who must you obey? How must you obey? And why must you obey? And so children, especially tonight, children, who must you obey? Well, congregation, children, we read in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So who must we obey? Who must you obey, children? Your father and your mother. Notice, it doesn't say parents. God didn't inspire, didn't give his word, I should say, and say, you must honor your parents. But he specifically said, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? Why did God not simply just say, honor your parents? Why did God give these specific words, father and mother, that children are to obey their father and their mother? Well, sadly today, we need to clearly emphasize some very clear biblical principles that we maybe in the past never ever thought we would even need to speak about, but today we must. Things that were understood even in society. Now, is confusion. But we also need to remember that all that influence starts to come into the church, and our children hear it, and we hear it. Satan is attacking the family more fiercely than ever before, and he wants to destroy. One little example. We don't have it in our school, so we're sheltered. But in other schools, other public schools in the area, you may not use the word as a teacher. Listen, you may not speak to the students and use the word father and mother. Seriously? But that's the influence of the evil power of Satan. So we need to begin considering some very clear biblical principles. Children, who must you obey? Your father and your mother. So in this command, God is teaching about the unique relationship in a family. Within a God-instituted family, yes, God instituted a family, a man and a woman become a father and a mother. So in the fifth commandment, the implication of this commandment, God is teaching about biblical marriage and that children are brought in to be supposed to be brought in to a biblical marriage through an intimate, special relationship between a husband and wife, a man and a woman, a male and a female, one man, one woman, with the blessing of the Lord, that children are born into a family, and that a husband becomes a father, and that a wife becomes a mother. And the family is the foundation relationship in society. God instituted a family. He gave a father, he gave a mother, and he gives children. And as I said, Satan wants to do everything today to destroy the family because he knows if he destroys the family, he destroys everything. And today, humanly speaking, the family is shaking. And we need to speak plainly. We need to speak clearly upon the word of God. And God, in the marriage between one man, one woman, between a husband and wife, gives children and gives the responsibility to a married couple to take care of children. Fathers and mothers are responsible for their children. And children, who must you obey? Your father and your mother. Children are a blessing, a gift of God, as we read in Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So notice also the order in the words. Order in the words of the commandment in the fifth commandment. What's the order? Do we first read, children, obey your mother and then your father? No, it's an order. Honor thy father and thy mother. Is this really important? It's just maybe, is it really important? Yes, it is. It's the inspired word of God. And we say God has written the law with his finger. What does it mean? The father, as we heard this morning, is called to be the leader in the family. The father is primarily responsible to lead his family, his dear wife, and his children in a biblical, loving manner. The father is called to be the prophet, to teach, to instruct, as we heard this morning, but also the priest, to pray for his family and to lead his family and his children to obey him in the family, but also to be the king, to be a leader in the family. So the father and the mother, honor thy father and thy mother. They are called to work together as one unit in an intimate relationship, in a special relationship, in a God-given relationship, in a family for an environment that's a blessing for children to grow up, to be cared for their bodies, but also especially for their souls, and that the word of God is obeyed, honored, and obeyed and revered. So in this commandment, God is teaching us of the importance of the family unit in society. It's the best place for children to be brought up in a caring environment, especially when there may be a God-fearing father and a God-fearing mother, that the children may be raised in such a home. So children, who must you obey? You must obey your father and mother. And now let's go back to paradise for a moment. God created Adam and Eve with an obedient heart. Obedient heart unto him. If you could see their hearts, you would see it radiant with delight, joy, and pleasure every day, every moment to obey God. But what happened? We rebelled. And because of rebellion in our covenant head, Adam's radically changed. It changed how fathers are, how mothers are, and how children are. Sin has contaminated the family that God has instituted. And so now we come to the second table, right? The first table, that was how, as we read in Lord's Day 34, how we are to behave before the Lord. But now we come to the second table, the second part of the commandments. And it's about how we are to act toward our neighbors. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And it begins where? Where does it begin? It begins in the home. It begins with the relationship of fathers and mothers with their children, with children obeying the authority of their parents. Children, do you delight to obey your parents? Do you? Children, what is authority? What does it mean? Authority means someone has the right, a right to make rules and to expect you to obey, and even more, a right that you would obey. Children, God, who must you obey? Your father and your mother, because God has given your father and your mother the authority that you must obey them. Listen to what we read in Leviticus 19, verse 3. And ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. So we hear, ye shall fear every man. So everyone must obey his father and his mother. But what does it mean to fear? Is it healthy in a family? For example, there's a family around a table, and the father moves his hand and all the children tremble. That's not healthy. What does it mean to fear, to be afraid? No. It means to obey, to have respect, to have awe, to honor the father and the mother. So children, who must you honor? Who must you respect? Who must you obey? Your father and your mother. God has appointed the Almighty God who created us, who instituted marriage, who instituted the family, has organized it in his infinite wisdom way as one man, one woman, a father, a mother with children. God has organized. He has instituted this for the good, that children may be cared for their body and for their souls. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now I have a question. Can you and I obey and love our parents only when we desire? Can we only obey when the... What if my mother is having a miserable day? What if my father's just absolutely grumpy? May we, must we obey him? Can we give an excuse and say, I don't need to obey? They're not in a good situation today. May we? We must obey. The only time you may not obey your father or your mother is when they ask you or command you to do something that's contrary to the precious word of God, which is against God's will, which is sin. You must obey your father and your mother. So, when must you obey? What does God command you? Let's open our Bibles and listen to the word of God. Colossians 3, verse 20. Colossians 3, verse 20. Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents, and now listen, in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So all things, that means everything. That doesn't mean some rules they give you that you can select. No, in all things, in everything. So children, who must you obey? You must obey your God-given authority in the home of your father and your mother. So, but only? Only your father and mother? God specifically commands obedience to the parents. But also, what do we read in the Heidelberg Catechism? What do we read in that answer? What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me. So children, teenagers, must you obey your teacher? Must you obey your teacher? Yes, you must obey your teacher. Your teacher is someone that God in his providence has placed over you in authority over you. They are the extension of the hand of the authority of your parents. We read in 1 Peter 2 verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So every ordinance, every way of authority, a teacher is God's given authority to students, to children, to teenagers, to obey them. Yes, you must obey them. Teenagers, young people, adults, must you obey your employer? Must you? Well, we read in Ephesians 6, verse 5 and 6, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye servants, service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So must you obey your boss? Yes, you must. Children, teenagers, congregation, must you obey the government? Must we obey the prime minister? Must we? Must we obey the laws that he sends out? Who placed the prime minister above us? Who? God did. Paul knew this. That's why he wrote in Romans 13, verse 1 and 2, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And now listen, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. What strong language that Paul uses in encouraging the Roman Christians to obey the power, the government. So we must obey our parents, father and mother. We must obey our teachers. We must obey those who are our bosses, our employers. We must obey the government. But must you obey those in the church that God has placed over you, in the office of an elder, of a deacon, of a pastor? Must you? Yes. God has placed them. We haven't called ourselves, but God has. Let's open our Bibles to listen to two verses from Hebrews 13. Let us listen to the precious word of God that we must obey also those that are set over us in the church. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Who are they? Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now let's go to verse 17, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So you hear? They watch for your souls. What a responsibility of fathers, mothers, teachers. That's the government's responsibility also, whether they realize it or not. but also especially leaders in the church, a pastor, elders, deacons. We need to watch for your souls. That's our heart. May that be continually their souls, the souls of those entrusted to us, and that we may do it with joy, and that you may follow, that we may show you and exhort you from the word of God, that it may be profitable for your never dying soul. But now another question. Must we always unconditionally obey the authorities? What are you called to be as a congregation? You are to be like the Bereans, that when you hear the word of God proclaimed, the Bereans, they studied if these things were so. Must we always unconditionally obey the authorities? The only exception, as I said already, is when they require. When a pastor would teach something contrary to the word of God, you must speak to him and say, that's not true. But when an authority asks you or requires something which is against the will of God, when one in authority requires you to do something sinful, what should we be like? Children, if your father or mother asks you to do something sinful, or the government, what must we do? How must we reply? We should be like Peter and the apostles. How did they reply? Acts 5, verse 29. We ought to obey God rather than men. And so we come to the conclusion of our first thought. Who must you obey? All God-given authority. Fathers, mothers, teachers, government, office bearers, police officers, them also. How must you and I obey? Well, now we go to our second thought. Children, how must you obey? Let's read the fifth commandment again. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And also we read in Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do we only need to obey perfect parents? Do we only need to obey a perfect father, a perfect mother, perfect office bearers, a perfect pastor, a perfect prime minister, perfect government officials, a perfect teacher? Do you only need to obey those who are perfect? Do we only need to obey those that we can never find absolutely any fault? You will not find anyone such father, mother, teacher, office bearer, pastor, government. And the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism knew this. They knew themselves as sinful men. They knew everyone is sinful, all authority. And so they give us instruction how we must obey sinful authorities. We read, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. So how must we obey? Patiently bearing with their infirmities and their weakness. Why did they write this? Because they knew there is not one perfect father, mother, teacher, government official, not one perfect office bearer upon this earth. Those in authority are sinful. So we have sinful children called to obey, sinful teenagers, sinful adults, sinful parents called to obey authorities, and we have sinful authorities called with a responsibility to govern them. To govern them. And we have those under them called to obey them. What do we need? Those in authority must bow their knees and say, Almighty God, I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful father. I'm a sinful teacher. I'm a sinful office bearer. Would it be a wonder if there was government officials saying, I'm a sinful government official, and I need to guide, lead, and instruct those people under my authority. Lord, give me grace. Give me the ability. Give me the power. Give me the wisdom. And what a wonder it would be that all those under authority would also be begging the Almighty God, give me a heart that would obey authority. What a beautiful nation that would be. Together, fearing the Lord, desiring to obey and to follow him. What a beautiful church that would be. Praying for one another. Those in authority praying for the flock. The flock praying for those in authority. What a beautiful family that would be. fathers and mothers on their knees, begging the Lord for grace and for wisdom to lead their family, and children begging for grace and for wisdom to obey as unto the Lord, in the Lord. How must you obey your sinful father and mother, children? In the Lord. That's what we read in Ephesians 6, verse 1. Obey your parents in the Lord. How must you obey your sinful teacher? Maybe that you don't like at all. Maybe he's too hard, maybe too soft, and you can give a whole list of excuses why you don't need to listen to this teacher. How must you obey as unto the Lord? How must you obey the church leaders that God has placed under you, or over you, I should say, as unto the Lord? How must we obey the government as unto the Lord? How must we obey those police officers as unto the Lord? What should be the motivating factor in obedience as children, as adults, to all authority over us? It must be as unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Not to say they're not perfect and I'm not going to obey. No, that God has placed them over authority over us, and that we obey as unto the Lord, for his name, for his honor, for his glory, with a desire in the heart to, in the first place, obey him. Obey him. We read in Colossians 3, verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. And now listen again, Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So how must you obey? What's the perfect example? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Think of how he loved, obeyed, and respected every moment of his life upon this earth, but also in eternity. He was ever his Father's delight. He was always obeying, always submitting, always loving, always respecting. His heart was one complete, full obedience unto the will of his Father. What's in obedience? Love. He loved his Father perfectly. What else is in obedience? Submitting. The Lord Jesus Christ submitted unto the will of his Father. How must we obey as he obeyed? What a great example. And he surrendered to the will of his Father. He was willing to come to this sin-cursed earth to do the will of his Father. And then we think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. We think of him willing to do the will of his Father. What was the will of his Father? To drink that cup of the wrath of God. Why is there wrath? Because we have broken the fifth commandment, that we have become rebellious creatures to God and to our neighbor, to all authority. And our disobedience filled that cup with infinite wrath. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, you see him there? He took that cup filled with the wrath of God against sin. And what did he say? What do we read in Matthew 26, verse 42? Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You see him? That obedient son with that obedient heart to the will of his Father, willing to drink that cup that was filled with sin, with wrath against sin because of disobedience. And the Father's delight was to give it to his Son. And it was the Son's delight to drink it. Why? So that there could be a cup of communion. A cup of communion. What does that mean? That the Almighty God, that we have sinned against all the commandments, but especially also tonight, the fifth commandment, that we rebelled against him, rebelled against his Son, rebelled against our parents, and sinful against this fifth commandment, that he can yet look upon and have communion. It was his delight, his Son's delight, the eternal delight of him to come to do the will of his Father. Psalm 80, verse 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Also the fifth commandment. And now also the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't obey and love and respect his heavenly Father. Children, remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was 12 years old? He went to the temple. How old are you? Are you 12? Now imagine the Lord Jesus Christ walking to the temple. Today we would say he went to church with his parents. And what happened? His parents went home and they thought he was following along. But they couldn't find him. And they went back and they found him. And what do we read about the Lord Jesus Christ? In Luke 2 verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. So we just read that. And was subject unto them. Who was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect man, righteous man and divine, pure holiness? He was subject unto whom? To his earthly father, Joseph, and his earthly father, mother, Mary, who were sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be subject unto them, to such imperfect parents, bearing with them patiently to all their infirmities. What an example. What an example of what it is to obey the fifth commandment. And then we think of him on the cross. And oh, how he cared also for his mother. He cared for her when he was in his most deepest agony and pain on the cross. What did he say? We read in John 19, verse 26 and 27, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And so, who must we obey? We must obey our father, our mother, our teacher, our employer, our government, all in authority, also in the church. How must we obey? Patiently bearing with their infirmities, bearing with imperfect authority, praying for them. What an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how, or why, I should say, our last thought, why must we obey? Let us sing first from Psalter 89. Psalter 89, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Ye children, come, give ear to me, and learn Jehovah's fear. He who would long in happy life, let him my counsel hear. Psalter 89, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
The fifth commandment, God's command to children. Who must we obey? All authority, as unto God, but especially in the first place, to obey the highest authority in heaven, the Almighty God. What sinner that is born totally depraved, with an absolute corrupt heart, filled with hatred and enmity to all authority and to God himself, what one will begin in this life a small beginning of true, wholehearted obedience? None of themselves. They need God's renewing grace. And by God's renewing grace, there becomes a beginning of a desire to truly obey all authority, all according to God's will. But also, they need daily cleansing of their hearts, cleansing grace to daily obey. Oh, we need grace, congregation, to become true, obedient unto authority, unto the Almighty God, and unto our parents and all authority. And out of this restored relationship that God makes by his free and sovereign grace, out of that we are called to obey others, to obey authority. So we heard who we must obey, how we must obey, and now in our last thought, why we must obey. Children, why must you obey? Do you ever feel it? I remember sometime, and I have much love and respect for my parents, but I remember sometimes my dad saying, and I asked a question, why? And he said, because. And that brought in my heart, my wicked heart. Was it my father? It was me. So much rebellion. Just because you're my father? Just because? Yes, just because. Just because. And it's healthy when they get older to explain why. But you don't have to explain to a little child why they must obey. You just need to say, child, God has placed you in my family. I'm the authority. You must obey me because God did it. And I pray that you may have a heart that desires to obey God, that you may desire to obey also the authority. Why? Because God, the Almighty God in his sovereign will, has been pleased to govern you by the authority given in the home, in the school, in the church, and in the land. So why did God, in his sovereign will, place authorities over us? Authorities in the home, father and mother, authorities in school, authorities in church, and authority in the land. Why? What does that tell us? What should that teach us? Because you and me, by our rebellion against God, have become absolute disobedient, rebellious creatures, sinful. So the reason is ultimately because of sin, because of us, because of our rebellion. You and I need authorities. This is a humbling thought. It should bring us in the dust. It should bring us guilty before God. It should humble us. In the Confession of Faith, Belgic Confession of Faith, in Article 36, they wrote the following. Please listen. We believe that our gracious God, because of the depravity of man, hath appointed kings, princes, magistrates, willing that certain laws and policies should govern the world. Why? Why do we need authority? Because it should teach us of our wicked heart. We need to be guided. And God, in his goodness and mercy and care for such rebellious sinners, has given his law, has given authority to guide us, to care for us in the right way. Children, your parents are there because God has called them. You must obey. Why? Because God has placed them over you to care for you, to guide you, to lead you, for your body, for your soul. Congregation, your parents, your government, your teacher, your pastor, your elders, your deacons, all are hands of God to guide and to care for you. You need to look above. You need to look above your father. May you look above to that heavenly father that he made you so good, but you became so rebellious. You need to look above the government and see the King of Kings who rules over absolutely everything and who has placed them in the responsibility of government. You need to look above your your teacher, to the good master, to the prophet, priest, and king. You need to look above your sinful pastor, to the good shepherd, to that good pastor, to obey him, to need him. Why must you obey? Because God has ordained it. Because God, it's his will. That's why at the end we read that last phrase. Since it pleases God to govern us by their hands. God gave the commandments. God gave it to man. Why? Because he cares for man. He wants what's best. He wants to teach us, and we need to be taught of our sinful hearts. But also, he gave his law, because when sinners are born again, they have a desire, when they experience something of misery, something of deliverance, they have a desire in their heart to obey God. How? How can I obey him? By obeying all authority as unto the Lord. And then we read in verse 3, that it may be well with thee. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Disobedience leads to death. Disobedience in paradise led to spiritual death, the triple death, spiritual, temporal, and eternal death. Disobedience to God's law, rebellious, continual, persistent disobedience, not willing to do his will, to do her own will lead only to certain eternal death. But by God's grace, sinners' hearts are renewed, and there begins a desire for obedience. Congregation, children, teenagers, adults, what's in your heart? Do you long to obey the commandments of God, also the fifth commandment, or are you still so rebellious? You hear, you must obey. Why? Because, and you're so filled with enmity, resisting obedience. Congregation, we come to the end. We heard this morning a command to fathers, and now we hear a command to all children. What's your response to the commandment, to the fifth commandment? Do you confess of sin? Listen to what we read in 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, fathers, children, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I pray that you may hear his command, fathers, that you hear his command, children, and that you become guilty because you are, but that you may see it, that it becomes real, and that you don't deny it, but that you confess it, that you don't try to hide it and cover it, but that you confess it before the Almighty God. Listen to what we read in Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We're guilty. We're guilty as fathers. We're guilty as mothers. We're guilty as parents. We're guilty as children. Guilty as a teacher. Guilty as office bearers. We all stand together guilty. Guilty before an Almighty God. And we need our sins forgiven. We need our hearts renewed to desire and to begin to obey. Are you guilty, my friend? Are you guilty before the Almighty God? I pray that you have become guilty today, fathers. I pray as a child you have become guilty before the Almighty God. That's the beginning of what Boston said, that we would know our guilt before an Almighty God. That would be the beginning of the way of restoration, because truly guilty sinners that feel it and know it in their hearts experientially by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, room is made. The law is a schoolmaster to bring unto Christ. Are you guilty? Are you guilty of this commandment? Do you have a mountain of sin? I think of that prodigal son and what he did to his father. Oh, he had a mountain of sin, but he was brought to himself. Have you, as a lost sinner, been brought to yourself that you have broken the fifth commandment and have a mountain of sin? And has love been poured in your heart, longing to be brought back to him, to him? And then you see that son. He couldn't stay at that place. He had to go back home. He had a longing. He began to think of his father. And how did that father act to his disobedient son? Oh, what a precious sight. Also, just to see that as a father, to welcome your son back to your disobedient son. Oh, we need fathers with compassion and love, knowing themselves, knowing their own sin, looking upon their children as with a soul to never-ending eternity. And we need children, children that confess their guilt. And we're all children because we all had parents, but we are all created in the image of God. God is our creator, and we need to be reconciled with him, reconciled with him, washed in his blood, covered by his righteousness. Do you feel guilty? I hope so, because we are. But I hope it comes real. Do you have a mountain of sin against all the commandments? The first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, and now the fifth one? I remember when Reverend Van Reitenberg came to Chilliwack, and the first time that he preached through the law, every time I came home, I just sat in my driveway, guilty. No good. No good at all. What lessons? Painful, but so good for the soul. Why? Because that makes room. That makes room for that precious Savior, that you need him to be covered by his righteousness and to be washed in his precious blood. But do you wonder, will he receive such a sinner, such a rebellious one? Listen to what we read in the precious word of God, Psalm 68, verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. And now listen, are you just a rebellious sinner? Is that who you are before God? Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. How can there be mercy for sinners made so good and have become so rebellious? It's because of him, that precious Savior, who came to do the will of God. And in him, there is complete salvation through his merits for completely wretched sinners, also disobedient to the fifth commandment. We read in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Are you chief? The chief of sinners? Oh, what a wonder then to hear of a precious Savior for the chief of sinners. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee that thou would richly bless thy word through the foolishness of preaching, that thou would gather thy beloved people, that thy kingdom may come. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would apply thy word by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, thy word that we heard in this morning, but also thy word that we heard tonight. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, bring it into the hearts. Oh, we need thy help to proclaim. We need thy help to listen. But oh, the seed has been sown. May it be that there was prepared hearts, well-prepared hearts, that the seed may land and that it may bring forth fruit of true repentance and of faith. Lord, we acknowledge thee then that thou hast given us another day in thy house, that thou hast been pleased to open the doors, that thy word may be proclaimed, that we may freely proclaim and undisturbed have a worship service. But Lord, we beg thee, thou hast promised that thy word will never return unto thee but it will accomplish thy purpose. Oh, may it be to the saving of our souls, of the souls of fathers, mothers, of individual ones, of children. Lord, we beg thee, may we take thy word with us. May we not allow the birds of prey to pluck it away, or the cares of this world to choke it out, but that we may meditate upon it in this week. Lord, help in all our responsibilities in this coming week. And we beg and pray thee, Lord, take none away unprepared, and prepare us by thy free and sovereign grace. Wash and cleanse us, Lord, of all our many sins, we ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 140. And may we sing with heart and mouth, confessing our sin as fathers, as mothers, as children, and as individuals. Psalter 140, the first three stanzas. God be merciful to me on thy grace. I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. 140, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. dear congregation, to receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.